Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
You're listening to an episode, a not all new episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man with a different Zam today. Myself, James and Brad over there, we're going through a comic, a different comic in the Spider-Man series for the very first time. So we've had the Amazing Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man annuals, but it's been brought to our attention that we are now meant to be reading the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine, issue one.
Brad? Well, that answers some people's questions.
it's a bit mad.
I'm digging it. You know, just out from the get go. This issue has no color. It's pure ink.
It's also massive. It was 64 pages long, and I was hoping a lot of it would be fights or things you can kind of you can blow through. You know, you can just go wow, take it in. But it's very wordy. It was very wordy. So I think this is going to be a two-part series because I suspect that this half, you know, half this issue will run the length of a normal episode.
It's a thick boy.
So for those who don't know, we read, myself and Brad read through the Spider-Man series in order. So we started at Amazing Fantasy 15. And we've read through to this point, Spectacular Spider-Man Magazine 1, which is after, I think it was issue 62 we did last time, of The Amazing Spider-Man. But we're reading these for the very first time. So this really is, for the longest time, this is another new jump into something completely different. It's a black and white Spider-Man comic. Well, magazine, it's called Spectacular Spider-Man Magazine, still by Stan Lee and John Romita. Only caveat is you can jump in here because it doesn't follow the plot at all from last time.
Oh, okay. So this is like a standalone story. Yeah.
All you need to know is that Spider-Man's hanging out with Peter Parker's hanging out with Harry Osborn, Mary Jane Watson and Gwen Stacy.
So all the established characters then.
Oh, yeah. It builds on the established lore. You've got George Stacy, you've got J. Jonah Jameson, but none of them are suffering the same effects as what the Amazing Spider-Man plot lines have caused them.
Ah, okay. So, was there a reason how come John Romita and Stan Lee decided to just split off and do the Spectacular Spider-Man?
Honestly, it's probably more money. I don't know. I really don't know. I've tried for the longest time to gather it, but SEO is just balked. So search engine excellence. When you type in Spectacular Spider-Man, you do not get much back apart from the TV series and the many series of comic books called The Spectacular Spider-Man. But if I quickly have a search. So The Spectacular Spider-Man is a comic book and magazine series starring Spider-Man. Following the success of the original series, obviously the one we've been reading, The Amazing Spider-Man, Marvel Comics felt the character could support more than one title, which they made a two-issue magazine called The Spectacular Spider-Man. And then they carried on launching series like Marvel Team Up and a third monthly series, Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, debuted in 1976, which is 9 years after this.
Yeah, I think we're gonna post that wiki link in the description.
You've got some reading, basically. if you've stepped up, because this is just kind of unprecedented for us, because it doesn't. It's like an annual, but yeah, I guess the way to describe this in our canon is it's just another annual.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess. I've no idea if the second Spider-Man magazine carries on from the first.
Oh, because we'll find out. We'll cross that bridge. So like I said last episode, we are right click sort from date.
Well, I was reading here that the second Spectacular magazine has an issue that they just put in the bloody Amazing Spider-Man annual anyway.
Oh, okay. So,
Okay, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, Brad.
That bridge will be crossed.
So, without any further messing around, let's jump into an all-new issue of Spider-Man. It's the Spectacular Spider-Man Magazine 1, Brad. It's black and white. It's by Stan Lee, John Romita, all the people we know and love, but all different and all new. Our comic starts, or our magazine starts, in familiar surroundings with Spider-Man swinging through New York City. Our hero notices a number of billboards that are popping up for electoral candidate Richard Raleigh all over the place. So this bloke's face, Richard Raleigh,
mate,
everywhere.
He looks like the villain of a B-mover, like in
so the depth on that billboard, Brad. It looks like his head. The shading is tremendous. It looks like his head is in a box, but it's 2D.
Yeah, they didn't think this one through, did they?
But that's a tremendous drawing.
It is great. It is spectacular.
To look like that is just... You know what the drawing in this issue reminds me of? Like Japanese manga?
I'll give you that.
Like, I'm not saying it's the same. I'm saying it just... There are some kind of... I'm getting that feeling.
It's
you know, like Berserk or something
yeah.
like that. And it's just black and white. I'm yeah. getting that feeling from the eyebrows of Raleigh and just the moodiness of it.
Yeah, it's quite noir without the pop colours. You know, it makes for more of a somber tone straight away.
So when I was... this issue is obviously really long. So when I was reading through, I thought, fuck this. I don't want to do it. And I read the next issue of Amazing Spider-Man. So spoiler alert, the first page of the next Amazing Spider-Man, it said that there's the Vulture, right? The Vulture who died.
Okay. Yeah.
And it says, first panel, literally first panel. It's a tiny corner one. Like, and it just says, oh, the Vulture's alive and he was dead. So when I saw that and it pissed me off so much, I went back to this.
That's terrible. But
the reason I brought that up is because I wanted to see the colours, and the colours popped so they are so vibrant.
Oh yeah, yeah. Gotta love normally. That CMYK, man.
Well, Spider-Man, he's swinging around and he notices some painters installing a new billboard. So he kind of has a closer look at what's going on here. He's like, what's the deal with this chap? Anyway, thankfully for these painters, mate, he swung by just as a massive bloke burst through the billboard. And there's no other way to describe this. Right, as a massive hairy fist.
Isn't it? I'm trying to figure out the angle in which this is drawn, because that is a fucking humongous hand.
Like that, it's huge, and it's just hit these poor painters who are on, you know, that little bit of what is it called? That, you know, that platform they have that goes up and down.
I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're saying.
It's on the ropes, but they're on the ropes as well. That fist comes straight through.
Mate, it's got hairy knuckles as well.
And Spider-Man, I think his question there of what's that is very valid.
It's just a gigantic hand. Just no ifs, ands, or buts. Just a ginormous, gargantuan, hairy-knuckled, five-finger knuckle sandwich coming straight from that billboard.
It's the most Italian porn star hand.
No. If it was an Italian porn star hand, it would be coming out, throwing up that Italian bobbity boopy hand. Just imagine that coming out the billboard.
This is not Little Italy anymore, Brad. It's Big Italy.
Big Italy.
It's coming straight through there. The neighbourhood of Big Italy.
Big Italy. Big Italy. Big Italy? No, that don't work.
So this guy...
Anyway, so...
He's
yeah, carry
big.
On.
There's yeah, no... He looks like Ryu from Street Fighter as well.
Oh, he does as well. Now, I can fully understand where you're getting this manga vibe from.
I don't know what he's done differently, but even though there's no colours, it's not like he's just drawn it and not put the colours on. It's like completely different.
He looks like Ryu crossed with Blanca.
Yes. Basically, just cut and paste any three or four Street Fighter characters, male Street Fighter characters together.
I was about to say, man, imagine if you're traveling southwards and then you just got Chun-Li's hips that don't lie.
To be fair, I think I'm getting the feeling here. You see his whole body now. I'm feeling that leg day may have been skipped by this chap.
Quite possibly.
Because it's all arms. It's all arms and chest here.
100% arms and hand. Mate, you know what, the inconsistency of that billboard hand compared to him in the next panel, that is so, it's so inconsistent. When he's smashing through the billboard, it literally looks like Godzilla's hand has just come fucking flying through it. And the next one, he's just slightly bigger than a normal man.
So it's a very liberal use of kind of artistic perspective there, I think.
Very liberal.
It's like, you know, when you watch the Lord of the Rings making of and how they do the hobbits and it's just really small people and you can never unsee it. Like, they're actually like children sized.
And there's that one stoner playing Gandalf that's like stupid little.
You can never watch the making of the Lord of the Rings film because
it ruins everything.
You can never unsee that.
And like, big chairs. Big chairs.
It's the worst thing they've ever done, I think. Like, because if you get the Blu-rays of them right, you've got like 12 hours of just shit that's going to ruin the 12-hour series. So you've got a whole entire like mirror universe of it that's just going to just destroy it for you.
Mate, it's called movie magic for a reason.
It's movie nightmares. You can't unsee it. When you just see him pop onto the screen, you're like, that's not Elijah Wood. That's a Pacific dwarf that they've hired, and that he's not on the same rate as Elijah Wood, which is pretty, you know, and he's on screen for basically the same fucking time as him.
Oh,
but yeah, that fist is bigger than it appears. It's above average, I'd say. He's big.
Yeah, he's above average, but that fist coming out of the billboard, that is literally like Donkey Kong level.
War of the Monsters.
Exactly.
Big fist coming through. But this guy, he's fighting. Spider-Man obviously goes straight for the kick. It's not working, as per usual. They have a little bit of a battle. Spider-Man gets thrown around a bit. Then he gets a drop on the guy, knocks him down to kind of a lower rooftop where he's kind of paralyzed a bit. But then Spider-Man hears the screams, and it's the painters that he saved earlier who can't hold on to the ledge he put them on anymore. So they just drop off, and he has to make the Spider-Man choice of, am I going to save these painters or am I going to, you know, play Street Fighter 6?
it's literally Marvel versus Capcom.
Brad, that is top. That's why you're on this podcast, man. You've really fulfilled your potential there.
Fucking pulled it home, man.
One time, man. Everybody gets one.
It's the thing is, this brutish kind of bloke is you'd think he'd be a bit of a dumber with his size and that, but he's sort of like tossing Spider-Man about like it's nothing, just dodging his hits, and just throwing him about like it's nothing.
I mean, you can still be dumb as fuck and dodge a punch.
Yeah, but it takes that intuition, man.
Yeah, but you've got to think he hasn't got, say, you know, like tomes of knowledge in his head.
Ah, oh, he's got them street smarts.
Yeah, it's like you said, like sometimes really good drivers are dumb because they just know, no, it's just pure instinct and there's nothing going on in their head except driving.
Yeah, you got to channel your own thoughts through the car and not overthink what you're actually doing.
So this guy, I'm going to say he's dumb. He looks with that brow.
That brow, yeah.
There is no room for a brain.
He's just Brooklyn's finest, man. He's just like, what does he say? Spider-Man, huh? Big deal. I can handle a dozen like you without even trying.
Like, those are big words for a man who's just said, I got you. There isn't a liberal use of syllables here. He's really just spitting out these words.
Doesn't mince them fuckers.
So Spider-Man's got to make the typical Spider-Man choice of whether he's going to save the painters or batter the bloke that has just knocked the painters off.
Why don't you just web them straight to the wall and then retrieve them later?
It wouldn't be dramatic.
That's a good point.
So he obviously saves the painters and he looks down and that big fucking dickhead has run off. So he's made his choice. He has to live with it. But he's really frustrated because he knows there's a man monster running around who's dangerous.
Mate, that bloke put all of his special points into agility and strength. Nothing else, man.
So Spider-Man, he swings away. He has a quick look around and he gets frustrated. The guys run off. He doesn't know what to do. So he does what he does best and changes into street clothes and hits the streets as the alter ego of Peter Parker.
It kills me how often Peter's just like, well, can't do anything else, and just changes into his civvies.
He's got a clock off at some time.
But he's like, that bloke that just took down a billboard, I ain't gonna try chasing down. Or just,
it's not a crime. It's not a crime to slap a billboard.
It fucking is. Criminal damage, son. Public.
Well, Peter, what he's off to do is go to the Daily Bugle, his workplace, of course, to pick up some money that is owed, no surprise there, by J. Jonah Jameson. But before he can do so, his roommate Harry Osborn and their mutual friend Mary Jane Watson, they buzz by in the car, Harry Osborn's car, and catch him. What we've been looking for,
mate. What a coinkydink. Although I am going to address the fact that MJ calls him PTO.
There's a lot of, you know, she is fluid with just putting shit on the end of people's names.
She's a fluid in chatting shit, mate. Mother.
Well, they've been looking for Pete, and Mary Jane hangs out the car and says, well, you know what? We've got an invitation for you, but first things first, you need this Richard Raleigh button, because we're all backing Richard Raleigh in the election. And I'm thinking, why is she so hot for politics all of a sudden? Then I thought, Richard Raleigh must be on the legalization lobby.
Oh, God. Do you remember when, this is for our British listeners out there. Do you remember when the Lib Dems were like failing super hard? So they're just like, we'll try to get the young vote by saying we'll legalize weed. It just fell out on his face.
Remember when they said, oh, yeah, we'll make student finance for free?
Mate, I'm still angry.
And then didn't.
Piss is still boiling.
And then that led to a series of events where they helped cripple the nation. And the leader of the party, you said, that fucked off to work for Facebook.
All right.
No, that's a true story.
True story. Dropping politics on the swinging for a Spider-Man.
It's true. All I'm laying is truth bombs, Brad. I am not making a judgment. I'm out here laying truth bombs.
Making a tasty truth souffle.
Yeah, suck it up. You know, the truth doesn't always taste good, but you're going to have to suck it up anyway. Can't hide from it. If it's served up, you have to eat it. Can't say no. Well, Mary Jane, obviously big fan of Richard Raleigh, slaps that button on Pete's lapel. But this reminds Pete that, hang on, I'm meant to be on the tail of someone and Raleigh, because Raleigh's posters have clearly been targeted by a massive monster of a man.
I'm kind of worried at how easily she's going around trying to peer pressure people into voting for this guy.
Yeah, this is really strong arming the vote here.
Yeah, proper. Might as well just be stuffing the box.
What? What over the button?
Yeah.
And she just puts it on Pete and he looks down. She drives off going cackling. He looks down and it says, "Make America great again."
That's who busts through the fucking through the billboard. It's Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
And the worst thing is like, now that it's black and white, all I can see is fluorescent orange.
Well, this reminds Pete that he's got a job to do, so he makes excuses to leave, but MJ says, hang on, no, the reason I've given you the button is because he's a cool guy. You need to come to a dance to raise cash for the campaign, Raleigh's campaign. It's a fundraiser. And Pete's like, okay, I'll do it, but I've got something to do. So he heads to the Bugle to get his money that is owed to him.
You know, every time that I see JJ drawn in these Spider-Man comics, I genuinely believe he is the single most horrific-looking man in the fucking world.
He looks like a geezer you'd kill in Dark Souls.
Yes. And the thing is, you know you'd be scared because he's human size.
Oh, Well, he heads to the Bugle to get his money. Of course, Jameson isn't in any mood to give him the money until Pete says, hang on, no, you actually owe me this or I'll take you to fucking court. You know, I can sue you. You owe me money. And JJ does the old thing of, oh, I'll give it you. But if you do this for me, and what he wants Pete to do is get photos of the massive bloke kicking the shit out of Richard Raleigh's campaign posters.
That's not the way it works. You get paid for the job you do. To be fair, I admire Pete's bollocks for literally going in and like, look, I'll take it to court if you don't fucking pay up. Because, like, we've already established that JJ's a very fucking wealthy man. And he could drag Pete through the courts if he really wanted to.
Yeah, he could just go to court and go, well, Peter Parker's a bitch, so I ain't paying him, suck on that.
And then he just throws a bunch of ones at the fucking jury and just walks out.
Yeah, all he has to do is just buy an above average lawyer and go, fuck everyone, I'm here, I'm a venture capitalist, man. I'm a red-blooded American. My freedoms say I don't have to pay this fucking punk.
I just have images of him like standing in front of the jury, like I said, literally hands in pockets, like, pulls out two fistfuls of dollars, throws it at the jury, pops two big birds, just moonwalks out to Hulk Hogan's I'm a Real America.
All he has to say is, I'm not paying this younger man because he's a pinko commie fuck. Done.
And just be
it's
like,
the 60s.
You don't want to agree with a pink or commie fuck, do you? And then everyone in jury is just like, no, sir, no, sir. I'm not a commie. You're a commie. Did you say you're a commie?
Well, Jameson gives Pete his own job. Chase that bloke down. Get those photos. He wants Parker on that trail just in case it kicks off again. And man, it is kicking off again.
Oh, boy.
Not in the way you might expect, though, Brad.
Okay, swerve ball.
So we meet Richard Raleigh as he's pounding the desk with his fists and screaming into the camera, I'm not going to stand idly by while the crime rate rises. Fuck the crime rate. We will declare war on the underworld. We will not bow to fear. We'll smash it all down. I will never betray the trust the public have given me, and I will serve the public.
Okay. Boom. That's a strong image, man.
Very strong image, strong jaw pound in that table. He's really on game. He turns around, the producer says, wow, that's a great speech, but you really laying it on thick there? I mean,
do you really want to cause some trouble for us?
So Richard Raleigh turns around and says, you know, you stick to ward healing, little man. You just fuck off. I'll do the thinking.
Well, he's a politician after all. That's what we're paying
for. The little guy says, well, wait a minute, you're not so big you can talk to me. You haven't even been elected, pal. You're just normal like me. And then he says, I haven't, you brainless, bumbling bantamweight. You're as blind as all the others. I've got the whole city eating out the palm of my hand right now, and I'll be elected by the biggest plurality in history. And that's just the beginning, because I'll be all my slaves by the end of it. You, everyone else, I'll be the most powerful man in the state, in the entire nation. And when they all come around, it'll be too fucking late.
Christ, that turned dark.
This bloke is a modern politician by all accounts.
The only thing that's missing is the private sex parties.
Yeah, the bunga bunga parties are how I can assure you. I can assure that Silvio Berlusconi is somewhere in the background.
Aww.
His face fucks me up.
Just like you're moving through this magazine, just like, why are these pages stuck together?
Because it's Silvio Berlusconi's skin. He's like 80 and he's got the skin of a 20-year-old. Explain that.
Oh.
He's had someone's head cut off and put over him. That's how that works.
It's like he tried to do anti-aging and something went wrong, horribly wrong, where he tried to look into the lost ark, and you know when it melts the face.
It's like if you bought an action figure of Tony Soprano and put it in a fucking microwave.
Rough.
But I digress. Richard Raleigh is a modern politician by all standards. He's playing the game. He's giving her the big, you know, jingoistic speech. I'm going to smash crime in the fucking balls. And they all fall for it. He wants to gain power and have the world serve him. And he seems so nice. He did seem so nice as well, Brad.
Yeah, with his...
He looked all right. Mary Jane fell for his good looks. She, Mary Jane, I didn't take her to support this kind of party. You know what I mean?
Yeah, know exactly what you mean.
I really thought Mary Jane, she don't want prisons to exist anymore. She just wants weed. Jobs, who needs them?
Fucking lefties.
Well, Spider-Man swings over to the house of Gwen Stacy before this dance fundraiser. And of course, in The Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy, they aren't talking. So, suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, fully suspended.
In his civilian clothes, he knocks on the door and asks Gwen, will you come to the rally dance? And she, Gwen Stacy, never wants to miss out on a party. So she's off.
Is this a common occurrence thing? Because I feel as though these guys, like the only people that get invited to these kind of rallies would be high-flying sort of influencers. So, Peter's a kid from Queens. How's he here?
I mean, I'm pretty sure this Richard Rally bloke would just take anyone's money as long as the money is coming his way.
I'm clearly not in the know with these sort of things, how it works. So, yeah, you're going to have to lead me through it, mate.
Basically, if you're a politician and you don't have like the super PAC in America, if you're running for presidential campaign and you don't have a super PAC and you're not funded by corporations or lobbies, you need to find a way to get normal people, give you a fucking ton of money. So you just put loads of events on and go, come down, sign a few books, buy some t-shirts, we'll have a fucking blast.
You make every promise under the sun.
Yeah, do you know when they go like all over and they have crowds behind them
kiss babies and all that sort of jazz?
Yeah, just want to get around and get their face shown. So, and I mean, that even goes to the people who've got loads of money and got the super packs and stuff like that. It's just, you're going to need to do it a lot more if you're, not.
Because a newcomer.
Richard Rally, it says he's an independent politician, so he hasn't even got a party fund. They're not going to fund him. He has to make money himself or off donors like J. Jonah Jameson, for example.
Ah, it makes sense.
You know, the well-to-do people. Get them on board.
Isn't that slightly worrying, though? Because then if, like, they do get into power and someone's gave them a huge payoff to get them in power, then they could look the other way whenever it comes to certain things from that company.
Brad, are you just having the realisation now that this happens? Are you just are you fucking for real that you're having this realisation now?
No, I knew it's happening, but I plead blissful ignorance.
I tell you what, I don't know how they passed that fucking sugar tax, bro. I'm telling you now, I don't know how they got that past them.
I can imagine you there as soon as you got past, just slamming two fistfuls of genuine classic recipe cola onto the table. Are you fucking what? Man, you got to go Nando's now, pay an extra 20p to have classic Coke. What?
Absolutely. These fucking sugar joints must be paying some bastard.
Ask for water, they don't know. You reel for that shit yourself.
Well, at the dance, Peter and Gwen, they're enjoying themselves because they're young and free and they like to have fun and they're not too fussed about the fact it's a fundraiser. Mary Jane is just holding fucking clipboards.
Yeah, yeah, they're in the middle of the dance floor like, aren't you glad that I didn't hit your dad? She's like, yeah, fucking, that's such a weird thing to say, but I'm very glad that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, what would you do though if I did?
I don't know, I probably wouldn't speak to you.
I'd probably cry and run away and maybe we'd get arrested or brought in by the Kingpin and threatened to death. And maybe Spider-Man would come and save us. But no, I wouldn't speak to you.
But hey, we're just having a good time.
Well, Peter's spider senses interrupt the fun. He believes the ceiling above them is about to collapse.
Just as you do.
Yes. So he moves Gwen and heads into action.
Wait, he's straight into action?
He don't even give a shit.
He's right on the wall, in his civvies, Like it was nothing.
So let's break it down.
He was kicked off them size 12s straight under.
He looks up. He looks up and says, the light fixtures, they're going to collapse. They're going to fall onto the crowd. The light bulbs are going to smash. People are going to get hurt or die. Only Spider-Man can stop this. So he grabs Gwen by the arm and goes, Gwen, back to the table. There's no time to lose. And she's like, what the fuck are you on about? And he goes, don't ask questions, honey. She says, don't ask questions. Puts her down on the table and says, I've just remembered something important. I have to go take care of it. See ya. He doesn't even have time to switch clothes. So what he does, he runs to the light switch, fucking rips it off the wall. Fuck off. All the lights are gone.
Ah, oh, clever.
Lights out on the wall.
What a clever fuck. Oh, that's genius.
The problem is people could still see him. So he's got to keep his face against the wall.
I thought he took...
Because it's dark. It's not pitch black. It's dark, but like you can see in the dark.
Well,
so everyone's like, there's a bloke on the fucking roof, everyone.
Okay. I'm just wondering how they did. Like, they got candles on the go or whatever. Like, is everyone walking around with torches?
No, but you would know there was a bloke on the... You could, you know, the moonlight's coming through. You would know there's a bloke on the fucking roof.
Okay, I'll suspend your disbelief.
But they're not going to recognise him. They're just going to know there's a bloke on the roof. And they're all panicking, saying, oh, Spider-Man's on the fucking roof, and he's in his civilian clothes. So someone find a way to turn the lights on, get a flashlight.
Rough. They just wanna...
Whilst he's trying to save them from dying.
They want to snitch on him.
And he's got his shoes tied around his neck as well. He's in barefoot.
Fully just kicked off them size 12s, man. Just...
Well, he's crawling along the roof. He's trying to get to the light fixtures. He needs to put some webbing on to, you know, at least limit the damage if they do fall, or hold them up there for good. So he knocks the lights out. He's on the wall. He webs them up, but people are watching. Somebody grabs a torch and aims it at him. So what Pete does, he makes a web shield and blocks his face. And sprints out along the wall, having webbed up the light fixture from falling. And they're all going, get him! Fucking get him!
Meanwhile, the light fixture up above them is just like creaking, like...
It's safe for now. All he has to do is make it to the window. This is really funny.
Mate, why have I never seen a spider the web shield before? This is fantastic. It's like...
I just need to cover my face, but they're just seeing like little feet. You know when you know the burlesque, it's like that shit. It's just his little naked feet underneath.
And the thing is, mate, like smoking indoors would have been like legal at this point in time. So like imagine how caked in like smoke and dirt and dust and grime that ceiling would be. So you just see these dirty little hobbit feet poking out the bottom of his web shield.
Well, he launches himself out the window and then he thinks, wait, I need an alibi now because I've went outside and I've got to come back in. So I've got to think of something really quick. And then he thinks, hang on, wait a minute. Everyone thinks Spider-Man was in there. I'm a freelance photographer that is known to follow Spider-Man. All I have to say is, I wanted the picture of Spider-Man. So he comes back in and everyone goes, oh, you wanted the picture of Spider-Man?
It's a perfect master genius plan.
Speaking of Dark Souls, when he jumps out the window and he's got that shield on his back, it's like the worst Dark Souls creator character. He's really small and the shield's just so big.
That's exactly what I was thinking, man. He literally looks like a fucking turtle. He's got the shield on his back.
So extremely stupid. Bad cosplay.
Oh, mate, you know he's got the gears that starts off with the club. He's doing that war cry.
Well, as he heads in, he's with Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane Watson, and he offers, you know, I'll walk you home. Everyone in the fundraiser is just going on about Spider-Man, going, oh, he's fucking nuts. Look at the light fixture. He's damaged it. It was going to come down. The fire brigade came round, and they're like, oh, I mean, it's all fixed, and actually Spider-Man did save you, because if that webbing isn't there, it's coming down on your head. J. Jonah Jameson says to Pete, you didn't get any fucking pictures, did you? And he's like, there wasn't enough light. Yeah, that's what I'll say, even though Jameson just literally rumbled him in front of everyone.
In front of everyone. But it's that whole facade, isn't it? It's the whole Pete, there's no way Pete could be Spider-Man because he's such a dumb fuck
and his body's shit.
Exactly. Don't
Spider-Man wouldn't have a hairline like at 16.
Oh, he did Pete dirty, man. Oh, God.
Spider-Man's got my 26-year-old hairline. And you know what I mean? I've had 10 years. I've got 10 years on this dickhead. Is this worse than mine?
It fully is, man. It starts way back there, man.
It's pretty far back. It's like Las Vegas Elvis, and he must have been pushing 40.
And
we're not here to judge hair.
And he was on copious amounts of drugs.
He was eating a lot of shit as well. Yep. He was just putting cream in his fucking mouth. Oh, my uncle had an Elvis cookbook. Fuck, it's so good because one of the recipes is just a can of cream.
Oh, God.
Just squirt it in your mouth with every meal.
One whole can.
Like, it's serious.
In one go.
Yeah. Oh, he gets so much shit.
Oh, God. So.
But so Pete walks away with Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy, right? Gwen confronts him. She says, she was just like, I wonder what Spider-Man was doing up on that ceiling, Mr. Parker. He's like, oh, I don't know. Oh, that's Spider-Man. And Mary Jane's just in her own fucking world, just going, Richard Valet. Wow, what a dad. Wow. Oh,
she's thinking about that whole can of whipped cream.
And then Gwen moves in and grabs Peter's arm and goes, has my lover boy betrayed me? And he's like, fuck sake. And Gwen moves in and pulls a bit of webbing off him and goes, what about these silky hairs, Casanova? No, these aren't hairs. This is web. And he's like, oh, shit.
Man's Fitbit just explodes because his heart rate's gone so fast.
Like, okay. Gwen moves in and goes, oh, I was only joking. You couldn't be Spider-Man. These little web strands fell on everyone.
That's rough. It's like clearly ignore.
It's just fucking.
Clearly ignore these pythons and rippling abs that Peter actually has. It's just like they don't exist clearly. Like it doesn't matter. If you're wearing a suit, if you're wearing a t-shirt or anything, you can't hide being buff. You can't. So, like, how's everyone ripping into Peter so often?
Because I don't know, Brad. I don't know.
Just completely ignore every pound of muscle on this man's body.
I've got no answer for you. I've got no answer for you.
Dismiss it every fucking time, like it's not a thing.
They're like, how puny Parker with your six pack.
Yeah, it's just like, man, if only he had massive, unbelievably huge biceps like you do. Shame you don't.
Hey Pete, puny Pete, as they call you, puny Parker, as they call you. I did see you in the gym lifting 200 kilograms on your own, benching that. I think you're a pussy for doing that. Well, these light fixtures, mate, that were falling on everyone. These light fixtures.
Are we sure it's just not shoddy contractors?
It's something worse. It's something worse than our cowboy builders. It was a false flag conspiracy to make it look like an attack from the underworld, from the crime empires on Richard Raleigh. So Richard Raleigh caused it himself.
But I'm confused. Does everyone realise that it was meant to happen? Like that it was a planned attack?
No. He just admits it. He just speaks out loud and just says, oh, I can't believe my plan failed. Not to when he's on his own.
Ah, okay, I'm with you.
So these light fixtures, it was all his fault. He wanted to get the public on side and make it look like he was, you know, people wanted a hit on him.
by killing the public. Man, this guy's dark.
Yeah, I'm going, they attacked my fucking campaign. That will stop at nothing. You need to vote for me.
Vote with me.
At his house, Raleigh heads into a secret lair.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's really selling supervillain at the moment. Who needs three panels?
Christ. So he's in his, like, he's got all busts on the wall and he's going, oh, this false flag operator, we all failed. And he goes downstairs and then he goes downstairs again into a secret lair. And it's got all the stone steps and the brick walls and the, you know, the cobblestones and everything. It's a real fucking really greasy.
Castlevania.
Yeah. He's going down there and he's like, Faxton, you hear me? Are you down there? You milksop.
Rough.
I want to see him.
Your milksop? Oh, I'm using that. That's in my vocabulary now.
And this bloke, Faxton's working on machines and stuff. And he's in the basement with no window, is it? He's like, oh, sir, I've been working day and night.
Oh, mate, don't, no, this is clearly Igor, man. He might as well be like, yes, master.
I've been working day and night, master.
This is Winkler reimagined. Come back to life, man.
So Raleigh walks down his stairs and goes, get the fucking project done now, you shithead.
Oh, shit. You and then bitch. we have a establishing shot.
Yes, we really do. This project that he wants finished and now is the big fucking beastie man from the start.
Mate, he's strapped up, Dr. Frankenstein style.
This project, it's a giant bloke who ripped through the posters at the start. What he is, it's a genetically altered fug. So... I don't know what they've done.
It's a genetically altered fug, or what I like to call a jug.
This is a GM crop.
GM crop.
Getting chased down by the GM cop. It's a genetically altered monster, and it's one that Faxton, the mad scientist bloke, has been improving since its last outing. It was obviously breaking those posters. Because Raleigh wanted, he wanted the image that people are coming for him.
That makes sense.
So now, what better than a really powerful man who can come for him and stop when Raleigh wants it to?
I foresee this going too far.
This is going to go disastrously wrong.
Oh, yeah, of course. It never goes right.
This is good. Okay, on prediction, I haven't read the last half of the comic because I wanted to treat it as a different issue. We're going to have a part two. This guy is going to grab Raleigh's head and pop it.
Mountain style.
And the reason he's going to do that is because he just wants freedom so fucking bad.
Did Raleigh ever stop to think, maybe I want to love?
I didn't want big thighs. It's chafe so bad.
Get the talc.
In fact, you know, Faxon says there is no amount of Vaseline.
There is not enough.
We do not have enough E45 cream in New York.
That's what it is. He turns round to Igor and he's just like, Vaseline? And then the guy's just like shaking an empty pot and he's just like, we're all out. And he just goes into like a blind fit of rage.
It's just like Vader. When he's rebuilt, like, no.
Do not want.
If he wants Vaseline, he's going to have to spit on his palms and slap his thighs, man.
Ah, that's grim.
Raleigh doesn't care that the project... Oh, they're calling him a project.
Aren't we all projects in our own right?
Aren't we all working on ourselves, though?
Exactly. I know I am.
It's not a metaphor for the human experience of self-improvement.
You can take that to the bank, mate. You can.
Well, Faxton says it's not ready. You can't. It's not done. Raleigh doesn't care. He wants power now and activates it. But he's spooked when this fucking thing really fucking gets up.
Ooh.
Really gets up. And he's like, no, we're fucking shutting this boy down. We're shutting this boy down right now because it raised a hand to me. And Raleigh's like, shut it down. And you. You fucking big bastard. Don't ever raise a hand to me ever again.
Meanwhile, he's just hands ready to crush him. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, you fucking ever do that again, I don't even know what I can do to you. I will say big, nasty words that you can't understand, you thick fuck. But he's using like a remote control to shut him down, right? It looks like.
Yeah, just a sky remote.
There is no remote in the history of mankind that doesn't go missing. This is going walkabouts, man.
Could you go? I'd just piggyback him. I'd ride him down the street. He'd be my new mode of transportation.
Well, Brad, that is almost the end, because Raleigh isn't the only restless person in New York. Spider-Man's back on the streets looking for this big bastard to take down. And that is where we leave off, because we're going to have to split this up, because we've been going a long time on just half the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine, and we've tried to we have been really good. We've stuck mostly to it. Yeah.
Yeah, we did try.
There is a lot of banter. There was a lot of banter points that I pointed out, and I didn't go down those paths, because we'd be here hour and a half.
Yes,
easier.
Yes.
Easier. And that would be half. That would just be half the issue, an hour and a half. So I've had to rein the banter in, and we'll go mad next time, because I think you were going to literally have at least another half an hour of this, right? At least another half an hour.
We will have the best time.
Yeah, this has been, you know what, you have actually made me enjoy this more than when I was reading it, because it was black and white, it's a bit moody, it's a bit gothic, and you're like, Spider-Man was cool when it wasn't gothic. It's a bit before its time, but it was very cool and very creepy, and I got a new appreciation from reading that with you, Brad, so thank you.
Oh, mate. This comic may be black and white, but you bring colour into my life.
And well, isn't that all we want?
Well, thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll have part two out next week. So we'll have to split, we'll have to split this up into two parts. It's just too long. It's 64 bloody pages, which is around about three times the length of a normal one.
This comic is almost as big as, what's his name? What did they call him, this big guy?
Big Bastard Man.
Big Bastard Man. I'm going to call him Frank. He looks like a Frank.
That's, you know what? That is just the unconscious imagery of Frankenstein.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Damn. It's implanted in my brain.
Wow, subconscious. But man, it's been a blast, Brad. Again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for the bearing with the interruption to your goddamn amazing Spider-Man. How dare they do that? How dare they? But we're away for another week with the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine. Again, thank you for your reviews as well. Always bring a smile to our eye. You know.
Eye?
A great honor.
A tear to your eye, or a tear to your mouth, and a smile to your eye.
Fuck. Yes. Smile to my eye, a tear to my mouth.
Your facial expressions are built as well as Frank's.
Again, you keep them coming in, and my eyes will be smiling more and more. And my teeth will be dribbling.
Call it quits.
But you can find us at Spidey Podcast. Leave a review. We'll catch you next time. We're just here to have fun and enjoy Spider-Man.
Apparently, Bruno. See you soon.
See you soon, guys. Goodbye.